Take a look forward to the DNC next week. Joining us, our insider all this week, here now, political analyst and Republican strategist, Paris Denard. Paris, how come you never look tired?
Because I am just ready to make America great again. I'm high energy, like Donald Trump, high energy.
I forgot. Okay. We also have Democratic political analyst Jamal Simmons with us. He's been watching the RNC from Washington. He's also heading to Philly. Hi, Jamal.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. And I want to ask you both first before we just deconstruct the week we're leaving. When you hear people talking about times that America was great and it's not now, you know, the 50s, Paris, start with you. How does that hit you?
I think that what I hear is that and what Donald Trump taps into is the fact that for a lot of Americans right now, with unemployment rates and the housing crisis and people not – the high student loan debts and people not really being able to have legacy wealth passed on to their children, America doesn't feel great. And there was a time when for them personally, my family included, things were better. And we want to go back to a time when things were better for us financially, with respect to educational.
Yeah, but you know what? Unemployment is down, and the housing crisis started under the Bush administration.
But it's how you feel about it. It's how you feel about it. And that's how people vote. They vote on how they feel.
Well, Jamal, I'm thinking you are both, I'm just realizing, African-American. And there are a lot of African-Americans who don't think it was so great in the 50s.
Yeah,
Jamal?
I think what I hear when people say America was great way back when is it was great back before, you know, black people got to be president and gay people got to get out of the closet and the only interracial couple you knew were Lucy and Ricky and they slept in separate beds. I think that there's something about the social order that existed in the old America that was very comfortable to a lot of people. And now that you have you got a double whammy happening, which is you've got great social progress, as I would define it, that's happening with people being able to be their authentic selves in public. And at the same time, you've got economic distress. And so those people who used to have white skin privileges in the country now feel like they're losing those privileges at the same time that they're losing the ability to have an economic progress. And so those two things together are really damaging our politics.
Yeah. And so let's talk about how can Donald Trump make people feel better and feelings. I mean, that, as you said, Paris, that's a large part of it.
Right.
This morning, he came out again and returned to his fight with Ted Cruz. Again, this is, you know, this is another boxing match instead of something brighter. Let's listen.
I like Ted. He's fine. Again, I don't want his endorsement. If he gives it, I will not accept it, just so you understand. If he gives it, I will not accept it. Won't matter.
What do you think here? You're a strategist. What would you be recommending at this point?
I would recommend to the Trump campaign to focus on the issues that he highlighted last night on how he's going to make America great again, focusing on the economy, focusing on national security. Look, there was a CNN instant poll. 75% of Americans had a positive view of the speech. 56% would be more likely to vote for Trump after the speech that he gave last night because he looked and sounded presidential and he laid out a plan. And I think that's where he needs to focus on and let Ted Cruz fizzle into oblivion.
When I saw that, poll.
Let's keep in mind about that poll that those were people who watched the speech, and people who watched the speech tended to be more Republican than the general population. So that 75% number is a 75% of people who watched who are also probably more likely to be Republicans.
I would expect you to try to minimize a poll that was positive for Donald Trump. But what we do know about Mr. Trump, looking at the whole entire time frame that he's been running, is that a lot of Democrats, a lot of independents, a lot of progressives, and a lot of Republicans have been watching and tuning in because they are interested in what he has to say and what his view is to make America great again. So that's just the fact.
Well, and Jamal, stay with Democratic reaction. We heard President Obama speaking this morning. Let's listen to what he had to say.
I did not watch the convention. I don't think that's a surprise. I got a lot of stuff to do. And they are pretty long events.
And Jamal, is that the appropriate reaction? It's it's being dismissive. Maybe the president is dismissive of Donald Trump, but shouldn't there be some sort of respect of the other party's process?
I think the kids would call that shade.
Yes, they would.
I think he's throwing a little shade over at the Republicans right there. I think. You know, the president is focused on other things. He's never been a particularly political person in the way that we think about electoral politics. It's never been something I think that's gotten him too jazzed up. So I'm not surprised he didn't watch it. I will say this, and Paris may agree with me, actually. If you've been watching the news about Donald Trump for a long time, you've seen chaos, you've seen fights, you've seen him saying crazy things. Last night, I thought that Donald Trump was angry. I thought that he was very his facial expressions were very, you know, angry looking and passionate and all that. But he didn't seem deranged. And so if you had been thinking that here was a man who was deranged and who was going to lead the country off a cliff, you did not get that sense after watching that speech last night. I would think a lot of people watched that speech and said, oh, he's not as bad as people say he is. And that ought to make Hillary Clinton nervous.
And what should she do?
Well, first of all, she should pick a Democratic vice president that would get some of her supporters extremely excited. I'm not sure that's going to happen based on the names that are circulating today and tomorrow. But I think she needs to spend more time trying to figure out how to excite the people who are more likely to agree with her than trying to reassure people who are probably not ever going to vote for her.
Yeah, and Paris, what do you think she needs to do? I'm going to put you on the spot.
It's unfortunate. I don't think there's anything that she can do. For the past 30-some-odd years, people have seen her, learned from her, understand where she stands, and she continues to deceive and be the same Hillary Clinton. And
oh, so Paris.
It's just there's nothing she can do right now to change people's opinion about her. Progressives aren't coming over to her. She's because she's unable to change at this point.
Well, actually, a lot of the Bernie Sanders followers are coming over to Clinton, far more than the Never Trump side seem to be going over to Trump.
I think at the end of the day, she has an authenticity problem. And that's her biggest Achilles heel. And so the VP candidate for her is going to be a very, very important pick, just like Pence was a very important pick for Mr. Trump.
Well, and Paris, I'm going to start with you and then ask Jamal.
Sure.
Again, both African-Americans. There was a lot of important acknowledgement of police that were gunned down in two shootings.
Absolutely.
At the RNC. Not a lot of acknowledgement of what many Americans thought was just horrific videotapes that surfaced just before those shootings of young black men being shot. Does that disappoint you?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's entirely true. Mr. Trump did reference, he said...
when he talked about Baltimore and Ferguson.
He said, yeah, does this make life better for young Americans in Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, and Ferguson?
We have that. Let's listen.
That's an important point.
Yeah.
Every action I take, I will ask myself, does this make better for young Americans in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Detroit, in Ferguson?
And Jamal, I want you to weigh in on that.
You know, this is the reason why I think there are people who did probably watch that speech last night and said, he's not as crazy as I've been hearing. Because he reached out both to he had a trouble with it, LGBTQ Americans he had a struggle through. But he did basically, if you only watched Donald Trump's speech, you would have thought the Republican Party is no longer homophobic and Donald Trump is reaching out to African Americans. Now,
because that's the truth.
Well, okay. It's not actually.
Based
on any policy basis, that does not seem to be the case.
Donald Trump said to every parent who dreams for their child and every child, I am with you.
All right.
Unless you're a Mexican-American immigrant, then you're probably a rapist.
Jamal Simmons, Paris Denard, we'll continue this off air and in Philly. Thank you.